Life Audio.
Welcome to the Jesus is All We Need podcast with me, your host, Jason Sawtelle. This is the show where we dig into the personal testimonies of people in the news, celebrities, and folks just like you and me in a way that will leave you encouraged. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Jesus is All We Need podcast. Welcome to this episode of the Jesus is All We Need podcast. I'm your host, Jason Sawtelle. Today, we have my good friend, Skip Ackerman, here with us. Skip worked for the Anderson Fire Department for 33 years, but his biggest accomplishment while being there was hearing an angelic voice over the dispatch system and seeking out that voice and marrying her, which would be his wife, Diana, of 31 years. So Skip has been with the fire department for 33 years. He's been married to Diana for 31 years. Skip is actually started the Burnout Network, which I'm going to let him explain that to you. It's a pretty amazing organization they have. And he is also the host of the Burnout Podcast. Skip, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you letting me come on here.
Yeah, for sure, man. So before we get started here, tell us a little bit about the Burnout organization that you started and fill in the gaps there that I kind of left out.
Sure. Me and our producer, Sean, we wanted to do something. We started a Burnout Podcast first, and then it slipped in over to be the Burnout Network, which is going to be a 501c3 to reach out to first responders all the United States and the world. Just, if they're in darkness, we want to bring them to the light, whether it's, through addiction or whether they need some spiritual help, we'll guide them to the light, whatever we need to do.
That's fantastic. So the burnout part is, if you're first responder, police, fire, anyone in EMS, and they're just struggling and taking on all the pressures and the darkness that comes along with the job, that they start feeling burnout over time. And I love how you named it that. So in a tangible way, a first responder can say, yeah, I'm burnt out. But then what you do is point them to what they truly need, which may be some PTSD work with counselors, trauma work, all that kind of stuff. But what I love about you, Skip, is your heart is always for the Lord. And that's what ultimately you're always wanting to do is point people to the Lord. But you also recognize that many of these folks that are hurting aren't Christians, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, I can relate with them.
Yeah, that's
out of
cool,
time.
Man.
There was a time.
Yeah. Right. So give me a little background on why you felt that this was something people in our field needed.
Well, for personally, I remember being out there and suffering in silence and stuff. And we thought if we had a podcast, somebody could identify with it, whether it's a first responder or a family member that's listening that's trying to get their loved one help, or they might need help themselves. And we just have a diversity of people that's on there, therapists, first responders. We don't like to go gloom and doom all the time. Everybody has problems. We wanted to give them the solutions, the light, and something that was given to me a long time ago. And even it took me a while to realize I was given an opportunity to get out of that darkness. But, sometimes you need a little nudge from the human aspect.
Oh, 100%. I totally agree with that. And if you wouldn't mind, talk to us a little bit about the darkness. And just so the guests aren't freaking out, like, whoa, Jason's going there right away. I know Skip, and I know he's very comfortable sharing his story because you don't share it to heal yourself. You share it to connect with other people, in a cool way that you don't say, I know what you've been through. But by sharing your story, I believe from what I've learned of you, pray that it will help other people. Right, Skip? That's kind of the route that you go. Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of your story with us of, the darkness that you walked in as a first responder and as a firefighter.
I tell you, with me, it started when I was a little kid. I knew I was different. Something was different. I was very angry and all that. Then I had a great family. And then when my family members were on the fire, police and stuff. So I drifted to the fire department, got on there, and I was going to rescue the world. That first 2 weeks, I'm going to save everybody. My chest is real big. My head's real big. And then that first go around, we've seen little kids die, stabbing, shootings, all that. And then, years of that, and I'm not going to go into detail every run, but years of that, I started drinking because I didn't know how to handle the emotions. I thought I had to be tough. Nobody told me I had to suck it up, but I thought just watching everybody else, that's what I had to do. And I didn't have any I didn't go to church or anything. I did a little bit, but I was never forced to do that. And the way I leaned on it was alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever would get me out of that. I feel that hole in my soul. Well, it's a bottomless pit. If you try to use the worldly things, it's not going to work. And it didn't work. And I got, I was a cutter. I used to go home in my one room apartment. I used to take a knife across my chest, whatever I could do to get that pain release out. And I've been in and out of treatment for 11 years. I have, contemplated suicide. I'd planned, I attempted, did a lot of different things because I didn't know how to handle those emotions, not just because of the job, but just growing up. And I didn't have a God in my life. I was an atheist. I thought I was an atheist. I didn't want to believe in it. I would argue, bicker with people. I thought people went to church were very weak. I didn't want nothing to do with that. And, I kept pushing that away. And, when you try to push a trauma away and do it yourself, it's like pushing a mountain of Jell-O. It's going to cover you. You can't stop it. It's coming because there's no spiritual defense there for me. So eventually, I got some help. I had people, my neighbor, I tell you what, a man was from the neck down, was paralyzed, strongest man I know in my life, always tried to plant seeds with me all through the years. And I never paid attention to that until one day it happened.
I want to move back because definitely the guy planting the seeds, I know the backstory to that, and it's an amazing story. But let's slide back just a little and talk about the traumas because, you and I, we have a lot of the same backstory, if you will, of struggling with our past, using, and you nailed it. I hit the nail on the head that you tried to use everything the world said would make you feel better. Well, let's be honest, the world belongs to the devil, and the devil's going to use all that stuff and use those lies to try to make us feel better. And ultimately, the drugs, the alcohol, the, just chasing women, doing all that stuff. Bro, I'm going to ask you right now, even during that time, did it ever make you feel better?
No. I had those certain times I crossed the line where I thought I had some good times, but it was fleeting. After a while, it wasn't doing what I needed to do. It ran out of gas.
It's not sustaining.
No, it won't. It won't sustain me. And it's just, I'm blessed to be here today. With all the stuff that I put my body through, I just am amazed that I'm still here today. My older brothers are police officers, and my older brother didn't think I'd be here, made a statement to some people, said he's not going to live past 30 years old.
Wow. Wow. That's
it worked out.
From a family member too,
Yeah. He's a good brother. My brothers love me. My sister loved me. They tried to help me, but they finally had to detach with love and let me hit my bottom.
Well, that's speaking truth in your life. They were speaking truth in your life. If you stay on that road, you're dead, not just physically dead, but, also speaking from, and you're a Christian now, as am I, but speaking from our scriptural goggles now, looking into our past, you were going to be eternally dead too, and people were recognizing that stuff. So let's move forward now to your neighbor a little bit. You're struggling. You keep on having all these issues. Now your neighbor, tell us, how did he know you're struggling, or did you have conversations with him, or can you just tell what's the story there?
Well, through the years, Greg, he was my neighbor. He was in an accident when he was 16. Greg was considerably more older than I was. So when I was young, he could walk at the time, but he needed help. And then slowly, Greg ended up in a wheelchair. They ended up paralyzed. And then Greg was always trying to plant seeds when I was a kid. So was his mom. When I'd be good mowing the yard, they'd come out, bring me something to drink or whatever, and then invite me to church. I'd go sometimes because I felt sorry for him and I wanted to go for this guy. Of course, years later, I found out they felt sorry for me because I didn't go to church. So I sobered up. My last drink was February 7th of 2000. And Greg is, and then we, I started thinking about, Jesus, and I thought about the Bible, but I never really pulled the trigger on it to do anything. I still was fighting that battle myself. I still was thinking about suicide, even being sober, trying to do the right thing. And then me and another gentleman started going over to Greg's house, and Greg started doing a Bible study from his bed and just talking. I'm being open-minded and listening to him. We did that. Then all of a sudden, there's three of us, and all of a sudden, there's 10 of us, and 12 of us are recovering, and 12. And then we're on the floor.
Wait, I got to stop right here. So Greg is, you know, the term bedridden, but obviously, you know, being home, it's easier for him to be probably like in a hospital style bed or something like that. Is that what it looked like?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just get this straight, because these are the God stories I love, bro. Okay, so it's just you and Greg. Greg invites you over. You feel sorry for him, so you show up, you know, and this is how the Lord works. You know, Greg's feeling sorry for you. Here's a brother who doesn't have all this stuff you and I have been blessed with, physical fitness, you know, a job of going to the firehouse and doing all this. But this brother, what is he doing? He's out rescuing people's eternities. You know, obviously Christ is the ultimate rescuer, but this brother is doing it from his wheelchair and in his bed. Okay. So you can hear my voice. You know me, Skip. I get excited when I now see the Lord in the story. Then guys start showing up. People start showing up, man. And now you have a room full of guys doing a Bible study with this brother. Bro, that's a crazy, amazing story. So how did all that go, and what did it progress to?
Well, it just started building up, because it took me 5 years from February 7th, my last drink. And then on March 7th of 2005, I went to Greg's house one day. And then I don't know what was different, but I went in there and I accepted Christ in my life. And I didn't know what just happened. And then when I did that, we loaded Greg up in the van the next day. He went and bought my first Bible for me. He bought my first Bible. We got the little tabs and put on there. He showed me how to put them on there. And Greg used to go, he could do anything. Greg ended up, he could do anything. His mind, he's always smiling, never down in the dumps. And I remember him and his mom would leave the door unlocked because they know I'm restless at night and stuff. And I'd go there at 2 o'clock in the morning because Greg couldn't sleep all through the night because he gets spasms. And I'd go there and Greg would just talk God into me. I just listened. I was willing to listen. All that set the tone for March 7th of 2005, me accept Christ and then go forward from there. And that's when we started doing the Bible studies. We had that house full. Greg's in his bed. We're going through the Bible. We're on the floor around him. We have a group coming in now playing music at the house. The Rydells, who travel around everywhere. And Greg's mom, she's in her 80s and she's serving his food and making sure she's the last one that sits down. She's one of those moms that loves everybody. You come in, you're going to get something to eat. No matter where you're from, what you look like, that's what she does.
Wow. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The thing about their story, when Greg got in his wreck, a week later, Greg's brother got killed in a bicycle crash and he died. And I always wondered, I asked Barbara, I said, weren't you mad at God for that? She goes, no, I thank God for getting me through all that. And that's where everybody's perception is different. I used to look at being Christian as a weakness, but today it's a strength. It gets me through what I've been through. And I didn't realize at the time, it's like I live my life from the rearview mirror. I didn't see the prayers my mom was saying, my family was saying, until later on. I couldn't see it because the blinders of the world, I could only see worldly things and not spiritual things.
Well, you know, and you hit a major point there, which is, you know, something that I've just been teaching and preaching on lately, that, you know, when we are strong, we're weak, because when we're strong, we're ourselves, we're us. There's less of him and more of us. And we cannot fight those battles that we think we can. But when we admit that we are weak and we need him, Christ Jesus, to fight those battles for us, that is where true strength is found, you know? And so when you talk about his mom and going through that, I mean, of course, no one wants to go through that. And it's horrible, you know, and you know, I'm not going to say I would shake my fist at the Lord and stuff. But there is a question you can ask the Father is why? Why did I go through this? And he will answer. And I'm not wanting people, if they're going through some struggles right now, to say you're immediately going to get the answer. But over time, he is working within you and he's fighting the battles. And later on, you're going to see that and you're going to be that much stronger for it. And it's not your strength. You're stronger because of him, you know. And I love that you share that with us, bro, because I know for a fact there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that listen to your podcast and they don't feel better. Maybe like with a lot of the folks you deal with have gone through rehab, you know, and they've gotten their heads cleared of all the junk from, you know, they've been pouring into their body, smoking or injecting into their body, but there's still an emptiness and a pain there. And this is where I'm very clear with people why my prayer is for them to always chase after the Lord is because that's the only way they'll truly be fixed for eternity. Because as we know, the first thing about faith alone and Christ alone is salvation, eternal salvation. But there's also a lot more that comes with it. You get the clarity. You get to understand that you can't fix things alone. You start understanding what you can work on. You know, by no means am I saying that, you know, you got to be the one to not go reach for the bottle, reach for the drugs and all that, but he'll give you strength to not do it, you know, and stuff. And so I love that you share that and stuff, because like I said, people will go through rehab and they'll relapse. And I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians alike. Okay. But if they don't let the fixer of our eternities in to help fix these problems while they're working through it, bro, my fear is they're just going to live horribly till the day they're gone. And then there's horribleness after that. And that just crushes my soul. So I'm glad that you get that. And that's something that you're helping people along the way with, but in tangible ways. First thing is clear your head out from all the drugs and alcohol, then pray that they can hear the voice of the Lord.
Sure. I tell you, it's, you know, I've seen a lot of miracles through the years. I accepted Christ in my life and seen a lot of things happen. Not like in James, and this is not word for word, how the trials and tribulations could give you more endurance for tomorrow. And, you know, it just helps, you know, when you believe in Christ, you can go through anything. You got that shield of armor that God gives you. You can walk through the depth. And I'm not talking about fires. I'm not talking about working codes. I'm talking about living daily life. Sometimes it gets tough out there. You know, the bills come on to you. You don't know where the money's going to come from or whatever it is for somebody out there. You got God to rely on, and he puts people out there for me as yourself coming in my life, Jason, to lead me and to direct me and to keep me open-minded to look at, you know, how can I enhance my Christianity? Because for me, it wasn't a switch that came on. I had a dimmer switch. And it hadn't fully brightened up yet. It's going to keep going on and on until the day I take my last breath, I think.
Right. No, 100%. You know, he who created a good work in you, it's not going to be finished until the day you're standing in front of him in heaven. You know, that's just a given, you know. And I love that, brother. I mean, that's so good that you're doing that. Now, moving forward, okay, obviously, you know, like me, there's still struggles. There, like anyone listening to this, there's still day-to-day struggles. But what I love about that, bro, is how you talked about how the Holy Scriptures, including, you know, in James, will get you through that. Because you know me, I say the answers are in the Bible. And when people say where, I said, well, start at Genesis and go all the way through the indices. You know, they're there. But have a brother or sister in Christ walk you along so that you can also find them, you know, and get to your local church and all that good stuff. But, bro, that's so amazing. So now you take all the stuff from your past, all the crumminess, you know, from your childhood. I'm not saying your family was crummy, but just, you know, the internal stuff you dealt with and the job and the absorption, and you find ways to get healing. You know, you're able to start finding ways to not think about suicide, ways to stay away from the bottle, stay away from the drugs and all that stuff. And you're using that to bless others. What was the drive to start helping others, bro? Because a lot of times people just want to take care of themselves and that's it. Where does your drive come from to help others?
Well, I was taught, first of all, before I come to Christ, I was taught in the 12-step program, be a service to others. And that one of that program, a lot of their principles come from the book of James. It says, faith without works is dead. And that resonated with me. It was simple. It's something I could do. And it kept me clean and sober and happy. And eventually, it wasn't about not drinking or not using drugs because I didn't have the desire anymore. God took that from me. It was about seeing that light in somebody's eyes when you can share your brokenness with them or your doubts or with them, and seeing that there's an answer. And then when when you clean them up, whether you're working for the homeless under the bridge or I'm talking to this guy that's in a suit and tie, they're still broken. Same emotions. You might be talking a little bit different. You know, sometimes when you're talking to a bunch of firefighters, you'll have a certain lingo you're going to talk. If I talk to a bunch of pastors, I might talk a little bit different.
Not you, bro. I'm not letting you in a room full of pastors, bro. I'm telling you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, man. No, I hear what you're saying. You know, it's about, you know, you're not trying to fake it, but I explained it one time like this. Chameleons are not fake, right? They're not fake whatsoever, but they blend into their environment for safety, for other reasons, and stuff, but mostly for safety. Well, when you're going into an environment, you're not faking and becoming that environment, but you're blending into that to be able to show compassion and empathy, you know, true compassion and empathy, as opposed to if you come in to a homeless encampment and there's just crazy stuff going on that I don't even want to talk about here, because in the city of Oakland, I responded to homeless encampments where you're in and you're out. But if I showed up and I was like, why are they doing this? Why are they pointing out everything that I know God doesn't want them to be doing, bro, no one in there is going to listen to me. But if I show up with empathy and compassion because I want to serve them or you want to serve them, and we see all that, we're not saying that's okay, but we're chameleon past it. You know, we're coming past it to, quote, wash the feet of the one that we've been called to serve, you know? And I love that about you, that you do that. And for those of you that don't know Skip, I'm telling you, this guy, I'm not going to put his phone number out there, because if you call him, he's showing up, okay? And he's busy enough in his own town. But Skip, the way that you'll just hit me up at midnight, I'll look at my phone and you have some homeless dude with you that you're taking to a shelter to warm or something, or you're in a drug rehabilitation center, which may not be Christ-centered, and you're bringing the gospel to them with your actions and kind words. Bro, I just tip my hat to you for everything that you do there, bro. Thanks for doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. I like the praises years ago. You know, you like the praises or the articles in the paper or the awards you get or all that stuff. And I think you grow spiritually. You surpass all that. You know, it's like, I don't want to be recognized. I want to be in the background. Now, if God wants me to be out there and do what I'll do what I have to do. But I'm just grateful for you, Jason, for Greg, for my mom, for people that spoke life into me when I was almost dead. Of course, my spirit felt like it was dead, but people like yourself, you write in your books. And then my wife, she is a saint. You know, I was telling her, she was telling me what to do before we got married, because she was a 911 dispatcher. And then we got, and the way she lives her life is amazing. That's how she led me. She was one of those plant the seeds too, along with a lot of people. I needed a lot of people to speak life into me, because I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to hear the truth. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to share this with other people, and it keeps me sane.
Right. No,
and sober.
It does.
And happy.
Yeah. It's what you've been called. It's your calling. You know, you recognize your calling came from God, and that's what I love about it. Instead of saying me or I or me, or I'm doing this because I'll throw it out there, and I know you. You're not even doing it to help keep yourself sober. I know it's a blessing of a job and it keeps you busy, but your recognition is it truly comes from God and you've been called to do it. And all those good works add together to help keep you healthy, you know, but ultimately it's coming from God. I love that about you and your wife, Diana. I'm telling you, bro. Yeah, I mean, a saint above saints. You know, I don't know much about heaven. I know it's real. I know it's there and I know it's perfect. But I'm telling you, she's got a couple more crowns coming her way, and she's going to be in the country club part of heaven. You're just going to be lucky to go over there and hang out with her, bro. I want to be clear with that. Okay. You and I, we're going to be under the homeless bridge in heaven. I think where we're going to be, and our wives will be up there in the country club. Okay. But, you know, that's such good recognition, because so many times, I believe this. Yes, there is unhumble phases where you're doing it for you. You know, like maybe I'm out there doing what I'm doing because it makes me feel better. Well, that's the wrong way to do it. We do it because of a calling. But let's be honest. Sometimes, Skip, humbleness can get in the way if we're so over the top humble that no one knows what we're doing, or we don't give grace to people when they thank us. We're not doing good. So as you know, I'm always going to be rebuking you and say, Skip, accept the praise, but pass it on to God. You know what I mean? Is that because you are doing such an amazing thing out there, and we just love supporting you any way that we can. And when people get to know you, your love for the Lord and for other people is just straight up infectious. And I believe the reason it is because you are so real, bro. I mean, when you're having a bad day, you're going to let us know, dude. That's refreshing. It's totally refreshing, as opposed to hanging out with someone who's just in a really bad spot, you know? So with that being said, you know, now that I'm putting you up on the pedestal, I'm going to kick it out from under you.
Please.
Yeah. Well, you're having a bad day now. Let's go to the hard parts. With all the work you're doing and you're having a bad day, how do you get through it even today? Because we all have bad days. We all get the attacks. We all have doubts. We're all fighting the flesh, fighting the devil, and trying to go in Christ. What does Skip Aukman do when he's having a super bad day?
I tell you, with me, what's got me, you know, used to, even in sobriety and even in being a Christian, I made some mistakes, you know. when I had a bad day, I knew drinking and drugging wasn't the answer. But about 4 years ago, I wasn't a very good husband. I started cheating on my wife. And I didn't lean on to the Christian to be honest with them because I was afraid. I'm supposed to be this person that's supposed to have it all together. I believe in God. And it is hard for me to talk about God in those times because I knew what I was doing. But instead, I finally repented. I got some help. I went to a treatment center, not for alcohol or drugs, but for mental health, stuff I never dealt with. Came home, got honest with my wife. We got counseling. The saint forgave me, thank God. And we went forward. Today, when I'm had my bad days, I don't have bad days. I got bad moments. I used to have bad days with good moments. Now I got great days with moments that have solutions. When I'm having a bad day, I call on God. I say, God, come in my life. I don't know what's going on. I can't get rid of it. I need some help. And then I turn on to some spiritual people that I know in my life and talk to them. They lead me, they look some scripture. Also, I read this book I just got. It's called Jesus All You Need. I got back into that, reading that, and me and my wife read it together. And that helps me. That helps me get back into it. But at the end of the day, I need to reach out to somebody else. I need to get in my truck, go under the bridge, talk to the homeless. I need to go to the halfway houses, talk to somebody, or go give somebody what they need. And then that bad day turns into a remarkable day. God works through grace, through those moments where he comes into my heart, and it's through other people I can see in their eyes. I can see God in their eyes. Just like I seen Greg. I seen God in Greg, and it attracted me to that. And Greg always said, Skip, my wheelchair don't define me. My God does. And that's why I do a lot of recall about when I get in those bad moments about what people said to me. And that brings me back up. Now, you know, it's not great all the time. Sometimes I can be the doubting Thomas, but God always comes up in a big way for me, and he knocks me upside the head with a spiritual ball bat, which I know he's still there, and it, just a lot of different situations have happened. And one big one I'd like to finish when you're ready to finish to tell that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we get there, you just sparked something. I was at a fireman's retreat this weekend, Firefighters for Christ retreat. The pastor up there he said joy. And it's kind of like in our world in emergency medicine, PQRST, we have, you know, something for everything. And I never really use those because I like to get to the bottom of what's going on without using this little algorithm, if you will, and stuff. But he said joy means Jesus, others, and then you, right? And you just nailed it right there, that when it's all about Jesus and then you're pouring it onto others, because that's what you've been called to do. And once Jesus gets in your DNA, you want to start serving him. You know, you feel it. And when you're not serving him, it feels like something's off. And when something's off, that's a barometer to be like, yo, what's going on? So I love that about you. Because again, you're not out helping people to make yourself better, but you have a recognition of that's your calling. And when you step away from that calling, even for a short amount of time, or if something's going on in your life, you don't let it push you away from your calling, bro. And I just love that about you. And I hope people listen to this, because this is what it's about, is serving others, not because you want to make yourself feel better because it feels better to them. You're serving others because you felt compelled to do it because something inside you is stirring, and that stirring is God. And then the joy you get out of it by serving him and others, bro, you're right. How can you have a full bad day? There's bad moments and bad stuff. So just something I want the listeners to reflect on. All right, Skip. So before we get ready to head out here, I want to pass the mic over to you, and you can fill in anything that you missed out on. But what's going on now, and what do you have coming up, and what's just in your life you're so excited about that you want people to know?
I tell you, first of all, just don't ever give up hope. You know, I was one of the hopeless, and I just had people speaking hope into me. Just keep looking for those people. Keep the people around you that are positive thinkers and will tell you the truth. That's who you want around you, not anybody tearing you down. I was had the opportunity to be a part of the couple of different organizations through the years, but this year we were going back to FDIC, which is April 18th, 19th, and 20th. And Jason, you're going to be there at our exhibit at the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention exhibit and the burnout exhibit, and Jason's going to be there at Lucas Oil Stadium. But April 17th, we got a dinner that if you want to get a hold of Jason and me, if you want to come out to dinner with us in Indianapolis at the Firefighters Union Hall, you're welcome to come. That's something big that's happening. Then we're doing a walk out of darkness in England, and we're going to walk a 190-mile hike, and it's for mental health.
Pause. You're walking how far, bro?
Hey, I'm up in Michael's Valley. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're walking how far?
We're doing 190 miles.
You're dumb, bro. I'm gonna leave that. I'm sorry. You guys, this is an inside joke between me and Skip. Okay. I'm like, can't you like drive a car for suicide prevention or something? So no, I love what you're doing there, Skip, but I had to get that. So tell us about the walk you're doing in England for suicide prevention.
Well, one thing, Pete Lowe in Newfoundland, I connected with him a few years ago, and he does emotional support swims with Newfoundlands, and we connected together a few years ago, and we kept talking, and they don't have a lot of support for mental health and spiritual health too. You know, they got spiritual health. Don't get me wrong. There's Christians over there. They're doing what they need to do, but we're going to bring them something. You know, we can talk on Zoom. We can talk on the phone, what we're going to do, but we need to get on over there and help them. And while we're hiking and doing this, we're going to, you know, talk about mental health, but also we're going to talk about Christ. We're going to sit down and talk to people who's willing to listen. If they're not willing to listen, we share a little bit of our story. And then we see where it happens. But that's what we're doing. It's for,
let's go.
You know, we raise money. We're not worried about the money, but we'll take it.
Well, no, real quick, how can people support you in that area? Because, you know, that is going to cost a pretty penny. How can folks support you in that area?
Sure. If you want to go to the burnoutpodcast.org, and there's a section of walk out of the darkness. Next week, we'll have a donation button on there. You can donate to it. Or if you want to do some time or help out with that or be involved in that or come over, just let us know. This there, you go to burnoutpodcast.org and just send an email to me, and Jeff or me will answer the email.
Perfect. So my friends, burnoutpodcast.org, we'll post it in the notes and stuff. If you feel like calling here to help a brother of mine who's a brother in Christ and also a fireman whose heart is for helping not just firefighters in general through their trauma, but leading people to Christ, I would highly, highly, highly ask you to prayerfully consider helping their organization out. And again, it'll be burnoutpodcast.org, and we'll have it in the notes there for you guys to link on over. And if anything, I know for a fact what Skip really could use too is a whole lot of prayer. Right, brother?
That's right. That would get me through it, and it's helped me so far.
All right. Hey, Skip. Thank you so much for coming on the Jesus is All We Need podcast and being transparent, being vulnerable, and just showing people your struggles and what the Lord has done for you, man. I just appreciate you on so many levels, brother.
Thank you. Feelings mutual.
All right. We'll talk to you again real soon, brother.
All right, Jason. You have a great day.
I hope you found this episode as encouraging as I did. Be sure to click the like, subscribe, or whatever button you see that will notify you of future shows, because we have some awesome guests lined up that you're not going to want to miss. Until next week, remember this, my friends. Jesus is all we need. I love you guys. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. So head on over to lifeaudio.com and check them out.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.